Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning reading at verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hath pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, to taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offerings, oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of those is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from our evil consciousness and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to basically take our text this morning from verse number 20 by a new and living way. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much today for your wonderful grace. You sure are good to us. Lord, it seems like there's certain times in our life we recognize that more, but there's never a time when you're not good. And Father, I thank you so much for all you've done here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for the folk who's come this morning to be here in this place, to honor you with their presence. And Father, I just pray again today, should there be anyone here that's not saved? Father, it's so important that we have the assurance, we have the understanding, we know for sure that we're going to heaven when we die. And I pray if there's anyone here, Lord, that does not have that assurance, not sure of that, today will be the day when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be born again. Now, Father, for God's children, help us to have an awareness of the greatness and goodness of God this morning. And Father, the things you've done for us and how you sent your Son, Lord, to die on a cross for us, and we might have eternal life. Now, you help this preacher. I need you, Father. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I just need you, and ask you, Lord, to be glorified through these services. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said to you, we're going to preach a message this morning. I've entitled it The New and Living Way. If you have noticed, when we was reading in chapter 10, verse number 1, he's telling us about the law was only a shadow of things to come. Offerings that were made year after year after year after year showed that even though they were made, we still had remembrance of sin. They did not take them away. They did not wash them away. There was always the remembrance, because they'd come back year after year and have to offer these offerings, you see, and there was always remembrance of the sin. So something else had to be done about it, you see. And so we find that, of course, the blood of the bulls and the goats could not take away the sin. That's what he said in verse number 4. Absolutely could not take away any sin. But Jesus come, if you notice down through there, verse number 5, on through verse number 9, you find that Jesus come, according to the scriptures, to do the will of God. Now, Jesus come, and when his sacrifice took away sin for good forever. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's just such a blessed thing. You see, we don't have to year by year go back now and offer some sacrifice somewhere. No, Jesus came, and he died on the cross of Calvary, and he offered the only sacrifice that would ever wash away sin. Amen. Jesus done that. In verse number 16 that we read there, he made us a new covenant. And that new covenant was written in our hearts and our minds. It's a new covenant, you see. It's different than the old covenant of the sacrifices that was offered by the Jews, you see. No, it was a new covenant, and it was forever washed away our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you see. And he even says in verse 17 and 18 that our sins and our iniquities he'll remember no more. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Some folks coming in. Somebody help them back there. And so this morning, I just want to share with you, because of all of that, because of how Jesus came and washed away our sin, what that does for us. Look at verse number 19. He says, "And having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way." He said, the Bible says we have boldness. How can we have boldness? Look just real quickly. Let's look back at the scripture just for a moment. Look at verse number 10. He says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." See, we have boldness. We can enter in boldly to the throne of God. Why? Because of the offering that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. Look at verse number 14. He says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Do you realize that that offering through Jesus Christ has perfected us forever? When you receive Jesus Christ, you are perfected forever. You could do all the Jews and everybody else could do all those blood offerings and, you know, the bulls and the goats and all that, but heaven never perfect you forever. Had to keep coming back, doing that every year. No, but when Jesus comes, when Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, it was forever. It was forever. So we have boldness. Look at verse 17 and 18. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." There is no more offering for sin. It's already been made. I don't know about you, but I go home, you know, to my house. I do not have to knock and beg my wife to come in. I really don't. I mean, you say, well, you should, but I don't. I just come home and I just unlock the door if it's locked, and if it isn't locked, I just walk right in. I just go freely into my house anytime I want to. I might do that 5-6 times a day. I've been out somewhere. I just come in and just go right on into my house. It's I do that freely. I'm welcome there. Now, that's what God is telling us. Now, when you come to Christ, you're welcome. You can come freely. You see, you don't have to knock. You don't have to ask. You don't have to beg. You can just come on in to the throne of grace, you see, freely, you see. And we ought to do that. We ought to do it often. I do it sometimes, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times a day. But listen, we ought to do that with God. We ought to go often to the throne of grace. We ought to just go often. And he says, freely, just come on in. Anytime you want to do that. And if you notice there, he said in verse number 19, he says, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He wants us to enter in to the very holiest of place in communion with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's blessed. You see, we can do that through prayer. You see, you can just pray. You can just go to God anytime you want to and pray.
Right.
Amen. You don't have to set an appointment.
Right.
You just go in and talk to God anytime you want to. You go in and worship him. Anytime you want to go worship him, you just worship him, you see. And not that's also true for heaven's door. One of these days when we go on from this place, we have a place in heaven waiting for us, and it's freely given to us. You see, we don't have to beg. We don't have to ask God, say, oh, God, please let us in. No, that's already been settled, you see, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? You see, that's what I want to just stress for a few moments, because you notice in verse 19 he said, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. You know, I don't know how you do your prayers, and everybody does their prayers different. But most of the time when I pray, I come to God and I say, I recognize that the only way that I could even talk to you is because of the shed blood of your Son.
Yes.
See, I can enter into the holiest place of the Lord. I can go in and talk to him anytime I want to talk to him. But there's one reason I can do that. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a blessing. Now you just read through the scripture. It's over and over and over. In fact, turn back to chapter 9 for just a moment, verse number 11. But Christ being come as a high priest, that's verse number 11, chapter 9. He says, of a high priest, a good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God. You could just go on and read these verses. They're so blessed, so wonderful. But he's talking about it's the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's the only way, folks, that you can even come to the holiness. Let me just give you some verses. Just listen to it, and listen to what it's saying. Over in the book of Romans 5:9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood. Now listen, this is serious. I'm going to give you some verses on the blood, but I want you to listen to me. You see, you can't have your sins washed away unless you have come to God by faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Do you understand? We talk about the grace of God. God didn't have to save a one of us, but God saved us. And it's because of his shed blood. We're justified by the blood. You understand? You see, it's what he did on Calvary's cross. You see, he shed his blood there for you and for I. Amen. And that's the way you get saved. You see, you can't have any sins washed away. Baptismal waters won't wash it away. No. Your good works won't wash them away. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. He says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The reason your sins are forgiven is because of the blood. Amen. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. We find in Ephesians 2:13, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know the only way you can even be nigh to God, and that's what he's talking about, coming nigh to God. How can you get nigh to God? Through the blood. So there's no other way. You see, if you're sitting here today, I don't know your heart. I don't know all of your lives, but I know this. If you're not washed in the blood, you're not saved. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just simply saying it's a truth. I'm telling you, you've got to be washed in the blood. You've got to recognize the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you and shed his blood that you could have eternal life. You understand? You see, that's a must. You see, you can't play games in religion, fool around in religion, and get to heaven. See, you got to go through the blood. Amen. I like those blood songs, Brother Bud. Oh, I love those blood songs. I just love to hear them sing. We're going to do a tape one of these days on it. I'm going to send you down there to Evansville again and do all the blood songs. That's what I'd like to see one of these days. Amen. Just do all the blood songs. I love them. And you talk about the blood. Colossians, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, hear what he's saying? Through his blood. See in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of Christ. Do you hear me? Made peace. You can't have peace with God without the blood. Amen. You see, that's what he's telling us there in the scripture that I read to you. You see, it's through the blood. You don't have peace. You don't have peace with God. No way in the world you have peace with God unless you've been through the blood. Amen. And then in 1 Peter, first chapter, we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. You're redeemed by the blood. Now, folks, listen, don't get tired hearing about the blood. Amen. We're just going to keep talking about it here for a little while. We want to talk to you about the blood. Amen. It's the precious blood. Precious blood of Jesus. Amen. You see, it was a great price, great cost, you see, and it was because it was the precious blood. If you want to get right down to it, it's the precious blood of God. You know why? Because Jesus is God. Amen? Yeah, he's God the Son. And he's the Son of God, but he's God the Son. Amen. And so, anyway, then over in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, it was in the blood. And then over in Revelation 5:9, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. I don't know where these folk get this, that they want to leave the blood out. I don't understand it. It's all through the Bible. You see, they want to mark that off and wash that away somewhere and take it out of the hymnals and everything else, but it's because of the blood. See, that's the reason you can enter into the throne of God. Enter into the very throne of God, throne of grace. Why? Because of the blood. Amen. In your good works, anything you deserve or anything else, it's because of the blood, the shed blood of Jesus. Revelation 7:14, these are they which come out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's all about the blood, folks. Amen. So that's how you're going to be able to enter into the throne of God. He said you enter into the very holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, I just want to stop a moment and we'll go on. I want you to understand something. This preacher loves you. I just want to tell you something. If you're not washed in the blood, you're not ready for heaven because God won't accept you. See, now I didn't say you're not a church member, you see. That's not what's important. I didn't say you didn't try to do good works. I said if you're not washed in the blood, you're not going to heaven. Now, you want to make sure. You want to make sure there's been a time in your life you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, and you realize that it was the blood of Christ that washed away your sins. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be sure of that. You see, don't play games. Say, well, I've been religious. I went to church a lot, and I did this, I did that. No, those are all vain things. It's the blood. They're good things. They're good to go to church, good to do all this. But they're vain when it comes to salvation. So you got to be washed in the blood. You see, cleansed, washed in the blood. Now, I was thinking about the Jews. And I was thinking about back there, you know. And I know they had to bring their bulls and goats and all of that, you know, as looking forward to what Jesus was going to do one of these days. But we have some privileges, you know. Their holy place was a place in the tabernacle that they built. Their holy place was there. Ours is heavenly. See, we have a holiest that we can enter into as God's children. We can enter into by prayer, talking to the Lord anytime we want. It's a holy place. Amen. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that, I remember back the Jews, you know, the common folk could not enter into this holiest of holies. He was just the high priest. He's the only one could enter in. And you know, you and I, we can enter in anytime we want to. Anytime. You just enter into the holiest. And they could only do it once a year. We could do it, I mean, anytime we want to. Oh, I like that, you see. See, so we have great advantages here since Jesus has come, you see. And then you see also it was the blood of the beast, the bulls and the goats and all of those things. But we now, we have had Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding his blood. The Son of God shed his blood. And because of that, we can just go right into the throne of God. Into the holiest of places. Amen? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And how did he say we could do that? Through a new and living way. Just let me give you a few things. First of all, it's a new way. Look over in chapter 8, verse number 7. Chapter 8, verse number 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now basically he's talking about the first covenant is the law. And you said, had it been faultless, there was nothing wrong with the law. You understand that? Not one thing wrong with the law. It was we who tried to keep the law that had a problem. We can't keep the law. We absolutely can't do it. It's an impossibility. There's no one upon the face of the earth except Jesus Christ who's ever kept the law. Amen. So he said the first covenant had been faultless, then should no have been sought for a second. But for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. See, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I'm not going to continue to read all of that, but it's a new way. It's a new covenant. And that covenant is made by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He made a new covenant. Now, folks, that's why you can get saved today. Because of the new covenant. Jesus Christ made it. Understand? He went to the cross. He died on the cross there of Calvary. He died there for you. He died there for me. And because of that, you can come to Christ. You can be born again. Why? Because of the new covenant. It's a living covenant. It's not just new. It's a living covenant, you see, opposed to the law, which could not give life. The law could not give life. You say, well, Brother Ross, was it imperfect? No, the law was perfect, but we're imperfect. You and I could not get life out of the law. You say, I'll keep the law. You can't keep the law. You already goofed. You've already messed it up. So have I. You was born into it, iniquity. Understand? You see? So, and this new covenant brings life. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. You see, the new covenant brings life. In fact, over in 2 Corinthians, it talked about the law and called it the ministration of death. The law was the ministration of death. You say, well, Brother Ross, why is that, sir? Because, you see, it's not the law's problem. It's you and I's problem. Maybe anyone here can get up and testify they've been perfect. Huh? I mean, you was messed up before you was born. We just all messed up before we was born. Born in iniquity and sins. So there's no one going to stand up and testify, you see. And you'd have to be. You'd have to keep the law. Understand that? You have to keep the law if you're going to get life. And you can't keep the law. Only Jesus done that, you see. So Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You see, he is alive. He said over in John 11, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Amen? He's the resurrection. He's life. He's not death. He's life. So it's a living way. And not only is it new, not only is it living, but it's the way. In fact, it's the only way, you see. And Jesus come prepared that way for us. No one else could prepare it. You see, no one else could do that. You know, you and I, we have roads, and we're supposed to make it easy to get somewhere. That's what, you know, roads are supposed to do. And some of you probably done some traveling here lately. You didn't get there too easy, but them roads are made so that you can get to a place pretty easy. Down on 64, Interstate 64, I understand they didn't make it too good down there because, you know why? There's obstacles that arise in getting our way. That's what happens. But when Jesus come, he took all the obstacles out of the way. Amen. Every single one of them. You understand what I'm saying? There's not one obstacle left in the way of Christ. He made it all perfect, all right. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and the life. You see, he's everything. He's the way. And he's made it perfect. He made it for us, you see. Amen. It says, Bible says in Matthew 7, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Don't get fooled, folks. You, a lot of folks trying all kinds of things to get their way to heaven. But folks, there's one way, and it's Jesus. Now, you're not going to get there any other way. You understand? No, it's Jesus, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is it, you see. There's none other, you see. And what do we have to do? Well, we have to make that way plain to people. I think it's a wonderful thing. God left us a Bible. So to make it plain, the way of salvation is not hard. It's plain. You understand? The Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God is there to instruct us. You understand what I'm saying? He's to instruct us how to get to that way and go to that way, you see. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm taking the Word. Holy Spirit of God will deal with your hearts. And he's telling you the way is Christ. He's the only way. Not only that, you can't be saved unless you are washed in the blood. We've talked about the blood. You understand? Because Jesus is the way. There isn't any other way, you see. It's very dangerous, you know, for folk. And a lot of folk are doing this, but to be ignorant of the way, not know the way, and then not try to find out what it is. See, there's a lot of folk that's ignorant of the way of salvation. There's a lot of people ignorant of it. And they're not even trying to find out how to get there. That's dangerous business, you see. That's what preachers is for. That's what Christians are for. That's what tracts are for. That's what the Bible's for. Help them find the way. It's very, very plain, you see. And another thing, it's very dangerous to be shown the way and then not come to it. Folks, the way of salvation is plain. You understand? God makes it plain. Now, wouldn't it be a shame if God made the way of salvation plain and you wouldn't come to it? You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's dangerous. You should not do it. Not only that, you know, to seemingly come to the right way and then walk away from it. You understand what I'm saying? You see, you're playing with fire. It's dangerous. You see, the way of salvation is plain. Jesus is the way. And he is the only way. Not only that, you see, the Bible says there in verse number, chapter 10, verse number 20, by the new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He's consecrated, he's dedicated, you see, the way is already prepared. Now, you don't have to do anything to make the way right. He's already done it. He's already consecrated the way. It's his. He's prepared it. You see, it's already ready, you see. He removed all the barriers whatsoever. There's none left. Nothing can stop you from getting saved except yourself. There's nothing in the way. The way's already been prepared, you see. And the way of salvation, God has made plain to us. It's Jesus Christ through his shed blood. You understand? You see. And he, of course, went before us as the way to guide us and direct us. You see, he's already went before us. You see, he is the way. He sends these servants like myself and like other folk that preach the Word of God, that teach the Word of God. What for? To show you the way. The way of salvation. Do you understand? The way of salvation is Jesus Christ. Now, say, Brother Ross, why do you keep saying that? I'm telling you, I fear for folk. I'm afraid there's just some folk just playing games at religion, playing, you see, church games. You don't want to do that. That's dangerous. You see, that's very dangerous. You need to realize Jesus is the only way and that you have come to him with a repentant heart and come to him and say, Lord, I'm that old sinner that you said I was and I want to be saved. I want to trust Christ because he's the way. He's the only way of salvation, you see. So we find that Christ has prepared the way. You see, and it's the only way. There is no other. Amen. There's no other. Then he talks about the veil. I love it when I read it. I went back two or three times this week and read about the death of Christ and how there on the cross of Calvary he died for us. And when he died, that old veil was rent. That's what he was talking about here. He says, you know, in verse number 20, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, you see. The veil was illustrative of his flesh, the life of Jesus Christ. And so when he talks about that, I would like to have seen that temple. I would have liked to have seen the tabernacle. I would have liked to have seen where they went in to the holy place. And then went in, you know, and all the bread was there and the candles was there and the incense, the thing was there. And I'd have loved to see that. I'd have loved to see the outside there where they washed their feet and washed their hands and all of that. That'd been a beautiful thing. You walk on in, but then right there was a big old veil that went across the tabernacle, the temple. And they tell me that thing was a beautiful, beautiful masterpiece. I've been told, I don't know how thick it was, but I've been told anywhere from 6 inches to 12 inches thick. I don't know how thick it was, but it was real thick. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And what was behind that veil, you see, was the holiest of holiest. There was the Ark of God in there. And on top of it, you see, the mercy seat was on this Ark of God. You understand what I'm saying? And that's where the high priest went once a year. That veil was across there to stop everybody from going in but the high priest. Amen. But when Jesus died, that veil was rent. Now think about this. If it was 6 to 12 inches thick, whatever it was a thick thing. You imagine what it would have took to rent that veil. And the interesting part of it, it said it was rent from the top to the bottom. Now, mankind would have been down here at the bottom trying to cut that thing, trying to rend it, you know. No. It was rent from the top to the bottom. That's because God did it. See, God rent that veil. You understand what I'm saying? He just rent it and split it. You know why? To open it up for everybody. And that happened when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross, you see. And that just rent that veil wide open and everybody could go in to the holiness. That's why God says here, you see, a new and living way, which he's concentrated. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Now you can go in, he says. There's no fear now because that's all been rent. That's all been opened up by the blood of Jesus. Jesus died. Now you can go into the holiest place. Amen. Now, I just want to know something. Have you ever been into the holiest place? You ever been in there? See, you have to realize that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. You have to realize he's God the Son. Right. See, that's who he is. See, there was no one else could pay for your sins and my sins. God had to. You say, why? Because he's perfect. We're all imperfect. I couldn't have died for you. Amen. I couldn't have died for you, Chuck. I couldn't have died for you. You couldn't die for me. Jesus had to die for us. Amen. See, he's the Son of God. And he died for us. You understand that? You see? And so because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can now go into the very holiest of holies. Amen. I mean, just go in there and commune with God. Talk to him. You want to do that at 1 o'clock in the morning? It's okay. God's there. You want to do that at 5 o'clock in the morning? It's okay. God's there. Noon? It's okay. God's there. And it's open. The veil's been rent. Why? So we can go in. Now, I want to know something. I want you to ask yourself. I want to ask yourself, have you ever truly trusted Christ, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior? Or have you just maybe played around with religion? Maybe you're just not sure. You just don't know for sure. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. He's already paid the cost. There's nothing you can do. You say, Brother Ross, I've had people tell me years and years, well, I got to get ready. I got to straighten. No. That's not the way you come to God. See, I got to straighten my life out. I got to do something. No. That's not the way you come to God. You come to God as you are, realizing that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's already done everything. He's paid everything for you. All you have to do is accept it. Believe upon him and accept it. Amen. Now, has there ever been a time in your life when you know for sure that you've been born again? That's what you got to settle. That's what you got to decide. And if so, praise God for it. Thank God for it. Thank God for that time. Thank God for the salvation he's given you. If not, wouldn't it be a wonderful time right this morning? Just come down this aisle. Let us take God's word and show you. This will be the day. I'm going to nail it down right here. I'm going to nail a stake right here. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm going to come to the altar and I'm never going to have a doubt again about my salvation. I'm just going to nail it down right here this morning. I'm going to know for sure what I'm doing. I'm coming and I'm believing in Jesus and I'm going to just nail that thing down. I'm going to put my faith, my trust in Jesus and get saved. Now, wouldn't that be a great thing to do? Amen. You see, I'd say probably within a crowd this big, there's people, some may be sitting around with doubts in their heart. Very possible. Doubts in their heart. Am I really saved? Well, don't walk from this place. Come this morning. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Maybe you know you're not saved. You know for sure you're not born again. You just need to come. And by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, let him wash away your sins and forgive you forever and ever. Amen. Don't you? Wouldn't that be good? You can go from this place just having the joy of salvation, knowing that no matter what happened, you're God's child. And you're ready for heaven. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness to us. And I pray, God, that you'll give Father conviction of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. That there'll be those who just have doubt, wondering, maybe knowing already that they're not saved, that you'd work on their hearts. Now I'm going to interrupt my prayer and I'm going to ask you, as you have got your head bowed, your eyes closed, you say, Brother Ross, I'm one of those this morning. I've got doubts about my salvation. I'm just not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Now Pastor Ross is not going to call your name. He's not going to come get you. He's not going to do anything except pray for you. You say, Brother Ross, by the lifting of my hand, I'm concerned about my salvation. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand up, please. I'm really concerned about my salvation. I am not sure for sure that I'm saved. Just lift your hand up. It's all right. Just lift your hand and say, I'm concerned. I want you to pray for me, Pastor. Anyone, please. I'm just not sure. Father, as we continue in prayer, we ask you, God, to no one lifted their hand, but Father, I ask you to continue to work, deal. Father, draw people to yourself. You're a wonderful God. You've provided the way of salvation. And Lord, you've already done all there is to do. All we have to do is accept it and receive it. So I just pray that, Lord, even though maybe hands wasn't raised, but conviction of heart will cause them at the invitation to simply walk the aisle and come and let them be saved. Father, I pray for Christians today that we'll have an understanding of what it cost for the salvation of our souls. It cost the very precious, precious, precious blood of the Son of God. And so help us to understand that and be concerned about it. And Lord, be grateful for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.